Good evening, everyone. John Curdy here, coming to you from the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom, and this news update is brought to you by Sanilac County Medical Care Facility. Michigan is putting millions of additional state dollars into defense infrastructure and maritime workforce training, with new investments aimed at Selfridge Air National Guard Base and Michigan's shipbuilding industry. Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced $5.9 million from the state's Make It in Michigan Competitiveness Fund for a new cybersecurity and systems integrated facility at Selfridge in Macomb County. The planned 25,000-square-foot facility will include laboratories, classrooms, vehicle storage, and other offices focused on cybersecurity for military and commercial vehicles. State officials say the project is expected to support 107 construction jobs and leverage $29.5 million in federal funding. The latest funding comes in addition to a $152 million state investment approved in May for infrastructure improvements at Selfridge, as Selfridge prepares for its new F-15EX fighter jets and KC-46A refueling aircraft. The base has an estimated annual economic impact of $850 million and supports approximately 30,000 jobs statewide. Another $3.6 million is going towards Michigan's maritime manufacturing workforce. The money will help train as many as 720 workers for shipbuilding and related industries and will leverage an additional $8 million in federal funding. Michigan is home to approximately 300 shipbuilding suppliers. The Michigan Maritime Manufacturing Initiative began in 2024 and works with community colleges to prepare workers for fields including welding and machining, while also introducing K-12 students to maritime manufacturing careers. And the owner of an international drag strip in Mayfield Township, William Jennings, 53, was sentenced to serve 6 years behind bars for violating federal weapon laws. Jennings was found guilty for illegally possessing firearms by a convicted felon. According to federal law, felons cannot ever own or possess a firearm and/or ammunition. Jennings of Lapeer bought the racetrack about 8 years ago. He spent millions of dollars doing repairs and upgrades to the track. That is at Roods Lake Road. The racetrack has operated since the mid-1960s. In May, the Mayfield Township Board of Trustees approved special amendments to its zoning ordinances to allow races on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and to allow the business to operate expanded hours on those days. With the owner going to prison, the fate of the business is uncertain. And Lapeer Police Department arrested a suspect on Tuesday, August 18th, for the reported stabbing that happened on August 14th in Rowan Park. Law enforcement officers arrested the stabbing victim, Devin Bruce Dix, 23, of Davison, who falsely claimed somebody stabbed him in the park. Dix had actually injured himself while committing a robbery at a nearby store. Dix brought two children with him to the Walmart store in Lapeer. According to reports, he stole a box cutter to cut the straps on a gaming computer. While cutting the strap, the box cutter slipped, causing Dix to puncture his stomach and cut his hand. He had the children sit on top of the computer he was stealing as he was wheeled out of the store. Then went to a restaurant in Lapeer to call for help. A Lapeer sheriff's deputy and an ambulance responded. Dix was treated for his injuries, which he claimed were the result of an altercation in the park. He used that as an excuse for his injuries, which were caused while he was cutting a strap to steal a computer, and he used the children to hide the stolen computer. Because of some other incidents that happened previously, several cameras were set up around the park. None of the cameras showed Dix being assaulted. During the investigation, the police found the stolen computer in the trunk of his car. Dix is charged with one count of filing a false police report, one count of retail fraud, and two counts of fourth-degree child abuse, which are each a felony. His bond is set at $5,000 cash surety. Dix is due back in court at 10 a.m. on Monday, August 31st, for a probable cause hearing. When we come back from the Sand Lake Medical Care Facility sponsor message, we'll continue with your national news.
When summer arrives, routines shift, families stay busy, and time seems to move a little faster. During these moments, it's important to know that reliable care and support are available when health needs arise. After surgery, illness, or hospital stay, recovery doesn't end at discharge, and the right environment can make all the difference. I'm Melissa, Admissions Director at Sanilac Medical Care Facility. At Sanilac Medical Care Facility, our rehabilitation services are structured, attentive, and guided by skilled nursing and therapy professionals. Each care plan is tailored to the individual with goals focused on improving strength, mobility, and daily function. Families can feel confident knowing their loved one is cared for close to home with clear communication and dependable medical oversight. And when short-term recovery becomes a longer-term need, we continue providing skilled nursing care in a setting centered on stability, comfort, and respect. This summer, choose a place that understands healing and the families behind every decision. Call 810-648-3017 or visit sanilacmedicalcare.com because your loved ones deserve the best.
And we're back in the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom. Once again, my name is John Curdy. Continuing with our national news. Extreme weather drives record power grid demand across the Southwest. An enduring summer heat dome lingering over the American Southwest has pushed regional power grids to historic load thresholds. Electrical utility providers in Texas, Arizona, and Nevada issued rolling conservative alerts as continuous air conditioning demands strained local transmission lines. State energy operators managed to prevent widespread blackouts by tapping into utility-scale battery storage capacity built out over recent years. Despite the grid holding steady, energy analysts warn that sustained heat waves are exposing structural bottlenecks in regional cross-state power lines. Local utility commissions are urging consumers to adjust thermostats during peak evening demand hours, while maintenance teams work around the clock to monitor transformer temperatures in major metropolitan areas. In other national news, FAA announces expanded drone integration protocols for commercial corridors. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, released updated regulatory frameworks designed to safely integrate heavy commercial delivery drones into low-altitude urban airspaces. The newly announced guidelines established standardized flight corridors, mandate enhanced line-of-sight tracking systems, and set clear operational boundaries near civil airports and emergency landing zones. Logistics companies and retail giants have praised the standardized rules, claiming the clear framework will accelerate pilot programs for automated package delivery in suburban markets. Aviation safety advocates, however, continue to call for rigorous noise pollution limits and stringent privacy safeguards as more uncrewed aircraft enter municipal skies. When we come back from this public service announcement, we'll continue with your international news.
Since 1941, ordinary American citizens have been serving their communities nationwide as a member of the Civil Air Patrol, the official auxiliary of the United States Air Force. Answering the call to volunteer nationwide with 1,500 squadrons across 52 wings and our pilots flying more than 112,000 hours annually. And you can answer the call to volunteer. Become an everyday hero every day as a member of the Civil Air Patrol. Find a unit near you at GoCivilAirPatrol.com.
And we're back in the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom. Once again, my name is John Curdy. Continuing with our international news, Japan advances clean energy push with expanded offshore wind initiative. In a major stride towards national carbon neutrality targets, Japan's Ministry of Economy approved a massive expansion of offshore wind farm installations along its northern coastal waters. The project calls for dozens of deep water floating wind turbines capable of harvesting high velocity ocean winds without disturbing coastal fisheries. Engineers highlight that floating turbine platforms are specially designed to withstand violent typhoon conditions and seismic activity common to the region. The nation plans to grid connect the initial turbine cluster within the next 2 years, significantly reducing reliance on imported liquefied natural gas. In other international news, diplomatic standoff deepens over Pacific fisheries management regulations. A high-level summit on Pacific maritime resource management stalled in Fiji after several island nations clashed with international deep-sea fishing fleets over strict catch quotas. Pacific island leaders demanded enforceable reductions in commercial tuna harvests to protect dwindling fish stocks and local coastal economies. Foreign fishing consortiums argued that sudden quota cuts would destabilize global seafood markets and requested extended grace periods. Environmental observers warned that failure to reach a binding accord could lead to irreversible maritime ecosystem degradation across Western Pacific waters. When we come back from this other public service announcement, we'll continue with your obituaries.
Get off the couch and prepare for your future. If you're a young adult between 12 and 18 and you're dreaming of a career in aviation, space, or the military, then you need to know more about the cadet program of Civil Air Patrol, the official auxiliary of the United States Air Force. Fly, learn to lead, hike, camp, get in shape, and push yourself to new limits. Moms and dads, there is no future military requirement, but you and your young adult can find out more right now. Just log on to GoCivilAirPatrol.com.
Here is your obituaries for this hour. Patricia Ann Essenmaker, 88 years old, passed away on August 18, 2026. Patricia was born on October 5, 1937. Patricia married Floyd Essenmaker on October 5, 1957, and they were married for 31 years before he passed away. Patricia is survived by her sons Tony and Mark, daughter Susan and Debbie, brothers, sisters. She's also survived by her grandchildren and 20 great-grandchildren, with another one on the way. A massive Christian burial will be at 12 p.m. on Friday, August 21st, 2026 at St. Michael Church, Annunciation of the Lord Parish in Port Austin. Visitation will be held at 11 a.m. at the church until the time of service. Memorials may be offered to the Family Discretionary Fund. Condolences may be shared with the family at McAlpineFuneralHome.com. For the complete news stories, weather obituaries, and more, visit thumbnet.net. From the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom, I'm John Curdy, and that news update is brought to you by Sanilac County Medical Care Facility.